This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, April 11th, 2008. Commodity Week is a production of WILL AM 580, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at the University of Illinois.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Corn tagged new contract highs this past week amid support of outside factors and talk about planning delays and friendly U.S. and world-ending stocks estimates. Is a short-term setback in the cards? And will December corn ultimately tag $7? We'll discuss that and more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. This is Dave Dickey. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Our panelists today are Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, Mike Georgie of Allendale in Mahama, Illinois, and Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Let's open today's discussion with this question, Dan Zwicker. Futures prices have been volatile all spring, and given what you know about the market at the moment, where is corn likely headed short term, say over the next 3 weeks? And what do you think is the longer term potential for December futures?
Well, I think short term we're trading the weather market and how quickly the crop goes in the ground, what kind of shape it goes into the ground. So I think we're going to get into more of a choppy trading type pattern situation. You could just kind of tell the way the market performed here late Friday is the fear that the clearer weather was going to allow some planning to take place. You saw a lot of people running to the door there on Friday. So, longer term, I think the market still is going to have to wrestle with a very tight supply-demand balance sheet. Unless we just have perfect weather and an ideal planning from here on out, it's going to be difficult to raise a crop that builds stocks. And I think as long as we're in a very tight stock situation, the corn market, I think it's going to stay nervous and probably won't get comfortable with a big crop or a fairly loose supply situation until we get, down the road into May or June.
Are you $7 bullish?
You could probably read that in the charts, depending upon how you want to read them. But I think you have to mix in an element of fundamentals. There's two things, I think, that could make that happen. Number one, a serious planting delay that would reduce corn plantings underneath the 86 million acre level than what USA came out with here, and a total collapse of the dollar. And I think that's a possibility. When you look at price action in the dollar, it does look like the dollar is teetering with moving down into the mid-60s. And I think something like that would juice up the outside market activities and provide some underlying support to the agricultural commodity sector.
Mike Georgie, lots of producers made corn sales at $4. What can they do at this point to improve their profitability? That's question one for you. And the second question, for those who purchased puts at $5, is it now time to roll those up?
Well, I think, the guys that rolled at sold it at $5, I think you still have an opportunity to buy puts or even buy some call spreads, bull call spreads that could help you if you go into $7. But I think buying puts on what you haven't had sold now is buy more, because this is going to be a volatile market. We're getting into the planting season. If the planters get rolling, we can get a heck of a lot planted in a short amount of time.
Mike Zuzolo, it seems that almost everyone is bullish this corn market. So we must ask, what set of factors could turn speculators and funds bearish?
Well, I think Dan hit it, Dave. I think that dollar is probably the number one factor that could cause both sides of the ledger to be explored. If the dollar firmed up, if we had coordinated intervention by the major economies of the world. That would make probably the dollar rebound pretty nicely, at least a retracement, and maybe get it back to 80. And that, I think, would probably cause quite a bit of short covering in the dollar and probably long liquidation by funds. I think the other thing that's starting to be recognized in the bigger picture with some of these most recent updates by IMF and the World Bank, which typically run a little bit lagging with what's really happening in the real market, but the weak dollar policy by the Fed's not really working to stabilize the global economy anymore, and therefore it's not really helping the grain demand anymore. It's actually causing more headaches in terms of riots in Asia over the rice shortages, in terms of the high energy prices. The stock bulls in Asia, the Chinese market's down about 40% from the highs. The Indian market's down about 12%. The price increases for raw materials are starting to be passed on to end users now. In the last couple of years, they haven't been. So this cheap dollar policy is starting to work against us as far as grain demand. So it's a slippery slope we're on right now, and I think more and more people are starting to realize that.
May soybeans had a high on the week of 13.80 and a half, a low of 12.45. May beans finishing the week at 13.32 and a half, up 55 and a half from last week. The noves at 12.62 and a half are up 38 and three quarters from a week ago. Mike Giorgi, this past week USDA raised old crop carry out by 20 million bushels for the beans. And they did that by lowering the residual 77 million bushels, raising the crush by 5 million, and raising exports by 50 million. What do you make of this residual number?
I don't think they know what the residual number is. It's a number out there that, they lowered it by 70 million. I don't know what it all entails, but, by taking away from it, it does make the market look a little bullish.
Is it suggestive that there could be revisions to the 2007-08 soybean crop next January?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think that's what it is. They added this residual number several years ago, and I don't know what it means, but I don't think it's going to change the production number.
Mike Zuzulo, despite all the bearish fundamental news, soybeans continue to march higher. And this week they crossed to the upside of a short-term downtrend line, and they tested their 50-day moving averages. Are $13 or better new crop beans now back in play?
Well, I think they should be, Dave, and I think the fundamentals aren't that negative right now. You know, we had the increase in exports by USDA of 50 million and crush by 5, and yeah, that's hindsight, but China just came out with their first quarter imports of soy, and that was up 36%. Versus last year for the first quarter. And, between that and the Argentine strike still pulling beans out of the Gulf in this energy rally that we continue to see, I think maybe the fact of the matter is, and we talked about this right after the numbers came out by USDA, I think Chicago, until they're going to be proven otherwise by USDA, really believes we've seen the biggest new crop bean acreage number of the year, of the springtime, especially if we do start to dry out and get corn planted. So fundamentally, it's not as negative, I think, as some have thought. Maybe it is. Technically, certainly what you're saying is right, and we're going into more of a technical mindset here in the next 60 days, mainly because of emotion, but we think that's the best way that you can judge and gauge what the speculators are thinking between that and the energy market. So the 1225, 1230 level and nove beans is real critical to hold here. If it doesn't, then we may be open to testing long-term trend lines, which would be 75, 80 cents lower. But if we can hold 1225, 1230, and we start to open the planning window up, then, yeah, we're looking for maybe a little bit over $13 to get some hedges in place.
Dan Zwicker, how friendly do you want to be November beans if the U.S. dollar breaks out of its wedge formation and makes those new lows that you were talking about? And crude oil, as some analysts are suggesting, marches toward $115 to $120.
Well, new crop soybeans is supportive in the sense that our old crop supply is going to be very tight. Now, I know USDA bumped up the carryout, but I think with this recent round of turbulence that we've seen in Argentina with the farmer strike, maybe on again, off again, that has brought a lot of unexpected export demand into the U.S. market, and I think you're going to see that number shrink over time. Exports are going to go up because of that, and I think the USDA, by lowering residual, is an admission that they've understated last year's production. So we do have a little larger production. That was the only way they could get more supply into the balance sheet, by reducing residual use, which is nothing more than unexplained disappearance. So that was one way they could get a little more supply, show a little looser type balance sheet. But it is very tight. It is much tighter than 160. So that kind of mutes the larger plantings that kind of showed up on the 31st report. It's pretty much of a weather situation. The bean crop, though, one thing that we got to keep in mind is that it's going to need a very favorable double crop season. And that's going to be a July weather, August pattern, because without a very favorable new crop season, the soybean supplies are going to be very tight and very explosive as you go into the fall.
May corn a high on the week of 616, a low of 583. May corn finishing the week at 584 and a quarter, down 13 and three quarters. December 604, down 4 3/4 from a week ago. Mike Georgie, let's turn our discussion to basis on the corn side. What are your expectations for the next 30 days?
Well, in the next 30 days, they could widen up some, just for the fact that, you know, we think we can get the corn in the ground. It's going to depend on if we can get the corn in the ground. If we can get it in the ground, it's going to probably widen up, but we get more acres. But then if the price takes off higher, it's probably going to widen too. So basis is something you can't fight, but I think it definitely looks like it could stay wide and even get wider.
Dan Zwicker, your basis analysis.
It depends whether or not the market will allow the hedgers to roll into September. They need to carry in the market. I think if your country elevators can roll their hedges into September, that'll keep inventory off the marketplace, and maybe basis levels have a chance to firm up. But unless we get full carry so they can roll their July hedges on into September, there's going to be a lot of pressure to liquidate their inventories. And that'll put continued pressure on basis. I think the basis situation, again, we don't have a large supply of inventory in corn. So it's tough to get real bearish the basis unless this market would go sharply higher and force hedge liquidation or inventories to move into the inventory because they can't meet margin calls anymore, the country elevators, then that would get into a real wide basis situation. But if the corn market prices would stabilize, I think there would be some stability here on the basis.
May wheat a high on the week of 980.5, a low of 885. May wheat finishing the week at 896.5, down 77 3/4 from a week ago. July 910.5, down 81 from last week. Mike Zuzulo, world fundamentals for wheat are improving. Will speculative money continue to support prices, or are we headed for another leg down with prices potentially targeting the $8 level?
Dave, I think we're probably more technically oriented in the wheat than we are anything else as far as the new crop July wheat, because the potential for another leg down is really shows up on the chart in terms of a bear flag. And if we would cross through that April 1st low of around 903 3/4 on July wheat, that would indicate to us a negative close and the potential for another leg down. Now, having said that, we are coming in and re-owning wheat for our wheat hedgers, because we did not like what we saw as far as next week's maps in terms of potential for precip and what types of temperatures they're going to be looking at. Clients down near Amarillo, Lubbock, Texas, have told me they're already getting crop insurance adjusters out to look at their hard red wheat because it is not irrigated and it's not high enough, and they're really thinking about just tearing it up and taking a claim on it or trying to finish their stocker cattle on it. So I think we're going to try and play it from the long side here with our clients for 08 re-ownership, but if we would go back below 903 3/4, then we'd probably unravel those longs we're putting on right now.
April live cattle had a high on the week of 88.80, a low of 86.45. April live cattle finishing the week at 88.70, up 80. Lean hogs for April, a high of 59.85, a low of 58.45. April lean hogs finishing the week at 58.95, up 42.5 from a week ago. Mike Georgie, do you see any upside technical potential on the horizon for December hog futures?
That's kind of a toss-up because I think the numbers are good for the hogs. I don't think the last hog and pig report showed as much decline in the breeding herd as people had anticipated. So I think going into 08 on any month, if you can get it hedged, it's probably overpriced a little bit, and you do need to get your hedges on.
Thank you to the more than 1,000 of you who pledged more than $181,000 to WILO Radio during our just-ended spring fundraiser. We'd like to welcome 105 new members to the Friends of WILO. Thanks for helping make a real difference. And if for some reason you didn't get a chance to make a contribution, you can make one anytime at willpledge.org. Again, many thanks.